I just have a few comments, and a couple of questions actually for both Kevin and Alex. First of all, I think I just want to recommend Kevin's book. I can't do it enough. This is when Ajaz Ahmed's In Theory came out. I was a grad student, found In Theory to be this sort of manna from heaven kind of thing, finally sort of thing. I think the backlash against In Theory was just so great, from postcolonial theorists and so on. The whole issue of public culture that is devoted to debating it and so on. I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about Kevin's book is that finally that we have in one volume, a substantial, comprehensive in some ways critique of that notion that Marxism is sort of hopelessly Eurocentric, Orientalist, and so on and so forth. And as Alex was saying, Ahmed and people like that have written about it, and Kevin's work sort of takes that, to the next level. And I'd like Kevin to talk a little bit about the archives one of the things I got from the book was just the sense of how vast this archive actually is of Marx and Engels' writings that have not yet been, studied or read or published and so on. And just hearing that is quite exciting, actually, because there's obviously so much more that we have to learn from Marx and Engels. What I want to ask, actually, is the question of what has been the consequence of things like the Asiatic mode of production having become the sort of shibboleth in academia. That is, and not just shibboleths, in one sense, if you think about the Asiatic mode of production as a multilinear, as an example of, sort of multilinear perspective on history, saying that there are other societies, the model isn't that great. It's a problematic model, but there are societies that fall outside of the purview of any history that's written from a European standpoint and so on. If you think about it as a multilinear thing, you arrive at a different set of conclusions, it seems to me, than if you think of the Asiatic mode of production as just another stage in a unilinear scheme, right? If you think about it as a stage that's unilinear and a stage that's not well theorized, that seems to me is what opens up the charge to Marxism being teleological, unilinear, and so on. The question that I want to ask is, what do we say, and this is probably open to the room as well, what do we say about the absence of this idea of a sort of complex and dynamic Marxism in academia at a time when the need for this kind of work and this kind of discussion is so much in our faces, as it were. So that's one issue I wanted to raise. The second is, I find the book's argument about the development, the move from unilinear to multilinear, and that from the Communist Manifesto to later writings and so on, actually very convincing. And I guess I'm taking issue a little bit with Alex here, because I feel like in the Manifesto, when they talk about common ruin, and that section ends with the downfall of the bourgeoisie and the victory of the proletariat are equally inevitable. And I don't know whether that's a translation or something, but there's a certain kind of ambiguity there. Nevertheless, it seems to me that that's more about agency and inevitability rather than the idea of multilinear or unilinear paths to capitalism or paths to social development. So maybe we can try to clarify some of that. That's my spiel.